Hi, everybody. Steve Savitsky. Welcome back to Savitsky Talks. And today we're going to have a continuation of actually a conversation we had with Doron Kornbluth. And today we're going to have one of the foremost authorities on Chevra Kedisha and what's going on, Rabbi Elchanan Zon, who's the director of the Vod of Queens Chevra Kedisha and also president of the National Association of Chevra Kedisha, and well-known, well-respected in the field. Rabbi Zon, how are you?
Baruch Hashem, thank God. Fine.
That's good to hear. Good to hear that. Of course, everybody knows you and your reputation and what you do, Chesed Shalemes, and deeply appreciated in the Jewish community. We started having a conversation with Doron Kornbluth about something that I guess many people had never really focused in on, which was really cremation and what's going on today, that actually in the Jewish world this has become a new phenomenon. So what is really going on out there, and what can we do about it?
Well, it's really not that new a phenomenon. It has existed for many years, particularly in places like New York and the liberal Jewish community. There's always been a percentage of Jewish people who chose cremation in the last 40 or 50 years. But in the last few years, it has really exploded, and it has become very prevalent all across the country, particularly in those who are unaffiliated, and many people who are affiliated with the reform movement, where I believe right now the rate of cremation within the Jewish community is either at 30% or very close to 30% nationally. It's less in the Northeast, but it is probably much more than that in the places in the South. And in the West, places, certain areas of California have a rate as high as 50%. And this is really a reflection. It's a reflection of what's going on in the secular American community, where cremation has also exploded. The cremation rate today is over 40% nationally, and they are predicting that it will go over 50% within a very short time. In fact, the predictions keep getting shorter and shorter as to when it'll hit that 50% mark.
Now, you mentioned reform rabbis and reform communities. I mean, are reform rabbis actually pushing cremation now as a first choice?
I wouldn't say that they are pushing cremation as a first choice. However, there was a conference a few years ago in California of Chevra Kedisha, not an Orthodox conference, a multi-denominational conference, and they had a Reform rabbi speak on the subject. They actually were looking to get a statement from all of the different streams of Judaism encouraging in-ground burial, and they couldn't get that statement. And the Reform rabbi admitted that in his community, over 50% of his congregants are being cremated, and that on their cemetery, they actually opened a columbarium for urns to be placed in so that they could accommodate that segment of his community that is cremating. So I wouldn't say that they're encouraging it, but they have certainly become much more accepting of it as a practice that is within the mainstream. That is not something that is taboo, but something that is now acceptable on some level.
Now, normally, what happened, let's say, in the past? Let's forget about the Orthodox Jewish community. Talk about the rest of the community. I mean, they just basically go to the funeral parlor, and the director basically told them what to do and how to do it, or where did they get the guidance from?
Well, I think with cremation, most of the Jewish funeral homes, certainly up until very recently, discouraged cremation. I don't think it was the Jewish funeral director that was encouraging it. I think that decision came from outside the funeral home. They would accommodate those who came into a Jewish funeral home, and they will accommodate the request, and they will arrange for the cremation. The cremation is obviously not done on the premises. But they would try to at least have some kind of a funeral service. And in those days, I think cremation was really something that was driven by ecological reasons, not to use space, not to use up unnecessary wood that is that has value, so on and so forth. For those who were embalming it in those days, the embalming fluid is something that contaminated the earth, so on and so forth. And the funeral directors would accommodate those requests. Today, I would say that a very large majority of the people who are Jewish who are cremating are not even coming to Jewish funeral homes. They no longer even identify themselves in that way. And to go to a Jewish funeral home, if they're going to have a service, there's probably it's probably a little bit more expensive, and they will not. They will probably get some kind of resistance where the funeral director will try to make it a regular burial, because I think that is still true in most parts of the country. But many of them are just not coming to Jewish funerals. Many of them are just opting to go straight to crematories, to those funeral services that have direct cremation, and they can get a cremation for under $1,000. The entire cost, including a simple urn, could be under $1,000. The cost of burial today, besides the funeral costs, which are probably average well over $5,000 just for the funeral home charges for a simple funeral, the cost of a grave today nationally is probably well over $2,000 on average, probably closer to $3,000 on average. And then there's the grave opening, which is somewhere between $1,000 and $1,500, and then there are places that require vaults, which are $1,000, and there's perpetuation, there's monumentation, there's perpetual care. You're talking about the cemetery charges could be as much as $7,000 or $8,000, besides the funeral cost. So it's a very big difference in price, and I think that's driving it to some extent more recently.
Okay, so now that we know there's an issue, obviously we're concerned about it. What do we do? What are the steps that we could possibly take to... Is it education? Is that what it is?
I think education is first and foremost. We have been working on educational projects, and we'll talk about that. I mean, Doron Kornbluth's book was part of that. I was very helpful in him getting started in that, and encouraged him and gave him quite a bit of direction, and that's been... He's done a great job. There is a need to really get the word out that cremation is something that has... eternal significance. It's not just a choice that a Jew makes. It's different, perhaps, than just another mitzvah that they may choose to ignore or not practice. That cremation really is a statement on a much deeper level. It somehow is neglectful or insensitive to their own future generations that will have no place to come back and really visit, really connect to previous generations, which is something in our world that is extremely important. I think the education of how vital this is to Jewish belief and to Jewish continuity is something that really needs to be done. I think most people don't realize the consequences. There are very significant religious consequences, but also family consequences. It impacts on the family, it impacts on our society, on our...
Rabbi Zohn, if indeed the cemeteries are going to be putting aside places for, you know, cremation, burial, I presume, will there be monuments there also with the names of the people, so people could come back and it would be as if they were going to the cemetery?
Right. It's a very good point. First of all, you should know that the incidence of people being buried after cremation is very, very low. A while back, there was a actual study done by one of the associations, the national associations, I'm not sure which one it was, whether it was a funeral director association or a cemetery association, where they indicated that it was below 10%. Most people either have their ashes sprinkled somewhere or they keep the urn somewhere nearby. Some people bury in their own backyard. Whatever it may be, the incidence is very low of actually burying the ashes itself. That's number one. I myself can testify to every funeral home that we service has closets full of urns that were never picked up, that eventually have to dispose of somewhere because there's just they put it in the grave, in a mass grave or something, but they're just never picked up. There are a very large percentage of those. But besides the fact, when you cremate, even when you go back to the cemetery, it's not the same. You realize, even for the children, even for family, and I've heard this from many people, you go back and there's really not a sense that you are at the place where that person exists. You know, to us, a person dies and the neshama stays with the body, and there is a sense of a cemetery, a beis hachayim, because our belief is that the neshama lives eternally, and there is actually some part of that neshama that is there at the grave, and that's why we go on a yard site, and that's why we go. It's not just respect, but it's actually the belief that the neshama, there's an awareness. When you cremate, you destroy the entire physical body, and nothing grows in ashes. There's nothing that is recognizable. The DNA is no longer there. And therefore, the ashes have no halachic significance. It does not metame a kohen. It doesn't make a kohen who is a priest unfit. A kohen who cannot come in contact with a dead person does not have that issue when you're dealing with ashes as they are today. And so there really is no one there. You may be coming to a grave, but it's a memorial rather than a grave. And I think on some level, people do sense that. There certainly is no closure. You're not there before at the grave site to see the person lowered, to say goodbye to them in a real sense. And so there is really a very big difference, even when there is burial, which again is a very, very small percentage of those who are actually cremated.
But are you saying that, let's say, the neshama of that person who was cremated is no longer existent, or obviously it's there, right?
I can't say that the neshama is no longer existent. I believe in neshama, something that is eternal. What exactly happens, I can't say, but I will say that the connection that the neshama has to the body, which normally exists, there is still a connection to the physical body. That connection no longer exists, certainly not on the same level by any means, when there is a cremation. Mm-hmm. The ashes no longer have connection to that person's neshama. Unless, of course, it was a situation where they were cremated against their will. We're talking about people who were cremated in the Holocaust. And I recently gave a lecture in New Orleans, and this issue came up, and I spoke about the fact that our belief is we believe in resurrection. And the Gemara tells us that, the Talmud tells us that when Cleopatra actually asked Rav Meir whether a person at the time of resurrection will get up clothed in the clothing that they were buried in, will they get up in clothing or will they not have those clothing? And the Gemara answers, just as you put a kernel of wheat into the ground and it comes up, it's a naked kernel, it comes up with all kinds of coatings, the same way a person will get up and be fully clothed, okay? The idea is the earth is a place where we regenerate. Everything that grows, grows from the earth. Mm-hmm. When a person is cremated, that's not the case. And so cremation, to a certain extent, is seen in Jewish thought and theology as a denial of the very basic concept of Trias HaMesim, of resurrection.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that sounds like a pretty good argument. I think if you speak to anybody, even a Jew who's probably non-affiliated, I can't believe they don't want to say they want to participate in the resurrection of the dead at some point. Why give that up just because you decided to cremate and save some money?
Right, you're absolutely right. But many secular Jews do not believe in the neshama, do not believe in an afterlife. Some of them have been influenced, and you find this a lot by the people who are cremating, many of them influenced by Eastern culture and Eastern religions, where they believe that there is a separation of the physical and the spiritual in Eastern cultures, which is why the Indians and others cremate. The reason is they believe that you have to get rid of the body in order to free the spirit. So there's a lot of strange beliefs out there. It's not always that easy to convince people who may not believe in an afterlife that there's something, that there's resurrection. Many Jews, by the way, don't even believe the resurrection is a Jewish concept. They think of it as a Christian concept because it's used in Christianity in a different way. So getting that education out there in itself is extremely important, and it's really very much the basic beliefs and tenets of Judaism that is lacking on some level. But what I was getting back to the previous thought that we had is, as I was lecturing about this and I was speaking about the denial of resurrection and the fact that if one doesn't believe in resurrection, one cannot be worthy of it, a question was raised about World War II and the fact that so many Jews were cremated. Are you trying to tell me that since their bodies no longer exist and were never buried, that they will not be worthy of resurrection? And I think it's very important to understand that we believe that God created the world from nothing, Yesh Me'ayin. There was nothing there, and it was a creation. The Talmud tells us a very interesting story, and I think it's a story worth repeating. The Talmud tells us we're in the middle of the 3 weeks right now, so it's particularly appropriate, but during the second destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, of the temple, there were 400 children, 200 boys and 200 girls, that were on their way to Rome. They were being taken over, they were on the high seas, and they realized that they were going to be taken to a life of immorality. And they chose to give up their life, and they chose to jump into the sea. And the Talmud tells us that they had a problem. They asked the question, if we jump into the sea, how will we ever be worthy or have the ability to have Olam Haba, to have the world to come, to be resurrected? This very question. And the oldest of them replied with a passage from the pasuk from Tehillim that said, "Oshiv mi Bashan, Oshiv mi Mesulos Yam, I will return you from Bashan." And the Talmud explains that Bashan is actually a combination of a few words. It's mi bein shinei arroyos. It's from between the teeth of lions. In those days, often people were thrown to the lions. And so, I will return you. If you die, al kiddush Hashem, if you die for the purpose of sanctifying God's name, I will return you even from the lion's den, even if you've been completely consumed by a lion. Oshiv mimsulos yam, I will return you from the depths of the sea. And that is a special promise that is given to those who sanctify God's name. However, and so those who died in the Holocaust are in a totally different category. God will bring them back, and they need not be concerned about that. We need not be concerned. But for someone who chooses cremation because they do not appreciate or even deny the concept of resurrection, that's a whole different story. And they go into those who are kofer b'tchiyat ha-mesim. They are kofer, they deny the concept of resurrection and belief in an eternal world, and so they forfeit that right.
That's a great answer to that question, because I know many people will ask that question. So let me just end it. Let me just ask you this question. So we have our listening audience. We don't know necessarily who's out there. We never know. But let's assume there's somebody who is there and listening to the program, and then they have a colleague, they have a relative who is thinking about cremation. So what should they do? Is there a source they can go to? Is there someone they could speak to? What's the next step?
Okay. So the first thing to do is to try to figure out what is the source of that choice. There are many different options, many different reasons. It could be financial, it could be ecological, it could be simply because we live in a mobile society, it could be because they just don't believe in anything. Some of them turn against their own bodies. There are a lot of reasons. And based on that, they need to focus on it. Our organization, by the way, is about to open a website. We have worked very extensively on this issue, and we have helped many people change their minds, and we've helped those who are helping others change their minds do so. So we, our organization is the National Association of Chevra Kadisha. We do have the ability to assist. We have educational materials. We're working on some of those as well. Right now, we're opening a website called Peaceful Return, which should be open in the next few weeks with a lot of answers to these questions. And we're there to really to help them with these issues.
Great.
I think the first thing to know is what is at the source. Why did they choose that? And there are a lot of different reasons, a lot of variables. But in order to really address it, that's very important. The other thing that's very important is once they make the decision to be buried, and they finally agree, you must get it in writing somehow, whether it's part of a living will. We're actually working on a card now that we'd be working with the Orthodox Union, as a matter of fact, to get the message out there that one can sign that they object to cremation. It's part of a larger card, but it's a legal document. And that is extremely helpful because many people change their mind, but there are other family members who don't know it, and then it becomes a tug of war.
Okay. Well, listen, I think it's great. I think you've given us some good advice. And as I said, most people don't know about it, but you know, you're in the field and you're aware of it. But now, hopefully, people listening will be able to do something positive when they hear about this. Thank you so much. Thank you for all the great work you do for the Jewish community, and we sincerely appreciate it. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak about it.
Okay.
Have a very good day.
Bye-bye.